know-how and their best weapons would be effective in any battle of the Earth versus...
Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree.
Good afternoon. You've got Living Raiders on WCBN FM Ann Arbor. I'm so happy you're here today in the studio. It's wonderful to have Nandi Comer returning and Brittany Rogers here. I get to meet you for the first time. I knew you were here earlier in the week too, last week reading for an Ann Arbor.
Oh, right, yes. And it was delightful.
Yes, and that was at the Art Center, right, mm-hmm. Brittany?
Yes.
I was so sad to not get to see you there, but I knew that I had this coming up, so I felt lucky. And we've got also M. Bartley Siegel joining us via phone from the UP, from Houghton. Matt, are you there?
I am here. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for calling and being part of this today. And we've got one more Michigan poet, Jonah Mixon Webster is en route. But we are gathered here today because of Nandi Comer, the Michigan Poet Laureate. Nandi has put together this incredible project, Michigan Words, as part of your tenure as the Michigan Poet Laureate. I'm thrilled, and you're a friend of the show, so I'm glad you're back here, sitting across from me in this our funny WCBN studio here, and
thanks
with Jason
for
behind
me
the
back.
Glass.
No, thanks. Thank you so much for bringing me back. I love coming down to this studio. It reminds me of my like undergraduate days running around campus. So yeah, I love it.
Not so long ago, Nandi. Not so long ago.
You can tell people that lie if you want to.
but it is. It's great to be here with you today and to bring these. Not only yourselves here, but also we're going to get to hear your poems today and talk about Michigan Words, like this project that you're all a part of. And that from what I've heard from Nandi, you couldn't have done it without these poets. Like this is what the project's about. Maybe to start, Nandi, do you mind telling us just what is Michigan Words and its origin story for you?
Well, so Michigan Words is, as the Poet Laureate of Michigan, I was asked to do a capstone project, one that would just be an idea that would help to foster awareness and really promote poetry around the state. And I had participated in a project a little while ago that put artists on billboards, and I really wanted to expand that idea and really expand it out to the whole state. And so I thought, well, what a better way to really understand the power and the how dynamic and diverse the Michigan poetry is than like putting them on billboards where the whole public can see? Because I feel like oftentimes people have an awareness that Michigan has a literary history and a literary effect that ripples throughout the country, but they don't exactly know the faces of the people that are living today, that are writing, that are doing incredible work. So I was like, well, why don't we just put them on billboards. Let's put them on billboards so that when people walk by to the grocery store, they can see the face of somebody. And then maybe in the park, a day later, we'll be like, wait a minute, I saw you. You're somebody famous. And so what better way than to make instant celebrities of our poets in Michigan,
yes,
than by putting them on billboards around the state?
And it's the poets' faces, it's their words, mm-hmm, it's like a part of the poem itself, mm-hmm, and a way to scan to get to the a longer version of the poet.
There is a link that people can, and they can go to the Library of Michigan's website to read the whole poem, get the bios of the poet, and learn more about the project. Yeah.
Brittany, what was it like for you to see your billboard? Where is it? And what was it like for you?
It's super humbling, I think, to be like, oh, that's me.
And like larger than life, literally.
That's
up
me.
In the
that's
air.
My picture. That's my poem. So it was definitely like a really, really big honor for Nandi to ask me, and just very surreal to be like, huh.
Did Nandi call you, or what? How did you know this was happening? Did you get the call?
Well, Nandi emailed us. Nandi's really good and really meticulous, and is great at staying on top of things. So it'll be like, okay,
she is quite amazing.
This
for
thing
sure.
is happening. This thing is about to happen. It's gonna happen in a week. Tomorrow. right now it is happening. So Nandi kept us really, really up to date.
And where's your billboard, Brittany?
Oh. See, I'm so absent-minded. Jesus, my brain is in a fog.
Well, Brittany actually has, all of the poets have multiple locations all in their area. So not only did we select poets from all of, we specifically selected poets from different areas of Michigan. So we have Brittany from Detroit. We have Jonah Mixon Webster from Flint. And then, Matt, we have you up in the UP. And we specifically selected those areas. And then our team worked together to strategically place multiple billboards in the surrounding areas of where those poets are from. So
when you say multiple, Nandi, how many?
And there were 24 billboards all together that were placed all over the state. And so I think, and there might even have been more, because now that I think about it, I think you, Brittany, maybe had like something in the range of like 10 or 12 digital ones, because we were able
smiling.
To do we were able to do digital ones, and then we had some that were static. So in Flint we did digital and static, and so it's just really an amazing thing to see. Not only in the digital ones, we were able to place all three of the billboards kind of in one after the other, so people were able to see the changing words and changing images together. And so that was a really, like, a different experience. I think it expanded the vision that I had for the project originally. So, yeah.
And would you see more of the poem as you were going to the next billboard?
Well, no, it stayed in the original design, but it did give a kind of continuity. So instead of, like, maybe in Flint where you had two static billboards of Jonah, and he tells me that one of them is like right around the corner from his home, which is really so amazing.
Aww.
I can't wait to hear him talk about it. But to have that only as one person, but then to see them in the digital one where they're going one after the other, it seemed like people are like, oh, wait, that's more of a thing. There are other people involved. And Matt, you, like, yours is like really prominent on the street. You said that your parents saw it somewhere.
Yeah, there are two in the two in the UP that I was on. One is in Marquette, or just outside of Marquette, and one is in downtown Escanaba. And my mother had a friend who was vacationing in Escanaba and saw the billboard and took a picture of it and sent it to my mom asking what this thing was and what I was doing on it, and my mom was just absolutely thrilled. I think my mom has been more excited about the billboard than a lot of other sort of poetry accomplishments that I've had in my life.
Well, I mean, let's talk about that for a moment, because I think Jonah's arriving too, so this is great. But Matt, like you say that, and I I think I understand what you mean. And I wonder if Brittany and Nandi do too, in that sometimes, like, our family, they might be like, oh, it's nice that you're writing poems, but it kind of, it's not that it ends there, but it's sort of this thing. Whereas, like, to see the billboard out in, like, public life, it enters the civic space. And you've even got, like, friends texting or taking photos of it because they can connect to it in a different way.
Yeah, especially for poetry. I think esoteric is too strong of a word, but it's definitely an art form that kind of lives back behind a lot of people's consciousness. And to put it up on a billboard on a space that's usually reserved, at least up here, it's, you know, it's reserved for injury lawyers and car dealerships and
not too different down here.
Services, right? And then there's just this giant head of a poet and a poem. It's pretty wonderful.
And big words, your name. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The title of the poem. Mm-hmm. And so, Brittany, you were nodding then, too.
No, I was going to say there are definitely certain things that, like, my family seems to process more as, like, oh, this is my daughter's career as a poet than others, I'll say. And my mother doesn't live here, so she didn't get to see the billboard. But things like billboards are things like, I had a book release, and that she came to and was really excited about, and my family came, and I was so, like, I was very pleasantly surprised, but in my head, I'm like, I've been writing for I don't know how long at this point, and, like, I'll publish a poem, and that's something that they don't necessarily process, or, like, I'll be like, oh, I have a reading, and they don't process that, but, like, book launch, they were like, okay, I know what that means, let me, like, show
up.
Yeah, and I think also one of the things that I loved about the process was that it allowed us to do some immediate, like, Brittany, you have a book coming out. I would love to include one of the poems from your collection in this. So it's a poem from one of your first book that just came out, right?
What is it, Brittany? Can you tell us? What book is this?
Oh, yeah. It's my debut poetry collection. It's titled Good Dress. It came out with 10 House Books on October 15th.
Oh. Yeah, so brand new. Yes. Right after the billboards went up, Brittany's book came out. And Matt, yours is from, it's from the upcoming collection, or correct me if I'm wrong?
Correct, yeah. The poem that we ended up using is from In the Bone Cracking Cold, which is coming out from Wayne State University Press in March.
Oh, exciting. Oh,
I love that title.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's also just like, I want people to understand that it's not just about poets. We could have gone into the deep archive of Michigan writers, and we could have used poets that had published, you know, these poems long ago that have already become famous. We already have famous poets from Michigan. And I mean, the poets that we actually have on the billboards are also famous in their own right. Let's just be real.
Yes.
I mean, I know who I asked.
Yes.
So, but to like, we could talk about the legacy of history, but why not really celebrate, like, we're on the show Living Writers. Why not celebrate the living poets that are doing the work right now, and that they can act, that the community can see? Mm-hmm. I think that's so important, is that we recognize that there are people contributing to our everyday lives and really reflecting on humanity in ways that are really crucial, especially in times like this, when we're, like, dealing with either if you're dealing with dark times, or, you know,
yes,
the winter, even, you know, it's really nice to be able to see the person that has created those words that have given you something of comfort or deep contemplation.
Was that part of the project too, thinking about the poems that were chosen, that those words would be something that would be connecting maybe to the community that surrounds the poems, or to, like, the time, like, maybe to be an uplifting or something, like, as many people go to poems when they need to, for during dark times, for example, or loss or pain or so, or celebration too. Nice. Sorry, my list kept getting bleaker.
Well,
oh, Jonah, welcome. Come on in.
Jonah's here. Yay.
We've got Jonah Mixon Webster arriving.
Hi, Jonah.
I will say this, as the project lead, I didn't want the poets to feel at all limited. on what they wanted to present to the public. I wanted them to like know that they had a canvas, like literally this large canvas. Yes. And if they had something to say, to allow themselves to say what they wanted to say. I mean, we could get down in the grit of like, we had to think about how little you could put on a billboard, how small we can make the text before it became unreadable.
And at what distance?
at a distance. But I really didn't want, so I think I would pose that to the authors in terms of like asking them, well, what did you all think about when you were trying to decide on your poems for this project? Hey, Jonah.
Hey.
Jonah, do you want to jump in already?
Sorry.
No, you're just right.
I mean, that's a great question. That's a great prompt. And again, first, Nandi, thank you so much. This experience has been life-changing in more ways than one, both in a communal sense, as far as engaging with the community that we come from in ways that we've never seen before, right? In the second sense, as a poet, to think about how do you capture, you know, this small chunk of a big thing, right? And so, in thinking about what I would like to project into the world, into the communal space, the only thing that I really knew is that it had to be something positive. It had to be something positive. It was just too much weight, too much stress, too much drudgery, and just... People in Flint are dying. Mm. Mm-hmm. Right? Slowly. Some fast. So the chunk that I thought made the most sense was something that could bring more life into the space. Right? Into the area, into the community. And that billboard is actually right around the corner from my grandmother's house. Right in between the church that I grew up in and the gas station that I go to every day. You know, so goodness gracious.
It must mean then a lot to the people who know you, who are living right by where one of the billboards are. And does it change walking down the street?
Yeah. I literally used to walk to that gas station. That place where the billboard is at, I walked there because I didn't have a car. I didn't have any money. That's the place I go and buy my loose cigarettes from. You know, like, to be honest. I mean, personal soda. But no, like, it adds to the landscape, right? Mm-hmm. We already know our communities because we walk them. We engage with them. And this now has become a thing where, wow, mm-hmm. we are really a part of the landscape. Mm-hmm. Not even just we individually, but we collectively.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes people feel like they can't connect to poets in mm-hmm. some way. And now it's... Now they almost can't ignore us.
Well, I think that's also part of the reason why I chose these three poets, because while they have very different voices, they all write very differently, each of them. I think that oftentimes, sort of like what Matt was alluding to, like this idea that poetry is often seen as something as antiquated or dense or inaccessible, and then to put it in a space that's inaccessible, and not just to like give you something that could be easily digestible, but something that would ask you, oh, wait, what did that say? What did that mean? Oh, my. Like, and really spark an interest into what they're seeing on the board, but
and feel something alive too, like,
right?
Because like, Jonah, you mentioned even like drudgery, like this feeling where sometimes we're going to the next thing always, or we're pushed into it, or whatever it is, But having this moment where you happen to see something that could, you could feel more alive or more positive or...
Yeah, and people that look like their community, oftentimes, like, it's really important that, you know, that I have somebody like Brittany in Detroit, beautiful Black woman, representing so Detroit women in a way. Because you can't see it on the radio, but if you ever have, if you ever have the opportunity and should be so lucky to go to a Brittany Rogers reading, you will notice that she has some of the longest, beautiful nails that, and she stays with them done. They're always so beautiful, but she also, like, the hair is always like bright and vibrant and like another color. And so when it wasn't like, Brittany, I love your work, and also too, you got on these pink glasses.
You're being.
So people are driving down the road and they see this woman on this billboard and they're like, that looks like me. That looks like somebody that I love. What is that? Yeah. You know? So
that's Brittany.
And like you said, Nandi, Brittany has like 10 of these billboards around.
Because hers are digital, and so we did a little bit more in Detroit so that we would get more coverage. And interesting enough, the static billboards. Matt, are yours still up?
They are, as far as I am aware.
Yeah. Matt. So the static billboards, while they might seem like, I know that there's the flashiness and the money that one might get from doing digital billboards, they're a little bit cheaper. But we really wanted to do static billboards because they have more staying power. They stay, they don't change immediately as soon as you look at them. But also, nobody has changed that board yet. So we put them up in September, at the end of September, and they're still up in December. So you can still drive in Flint and see Jonah up on his billboard.
Is there a chance that it will keep going on until someone else is thinking about that billboard?
I think basically that's what's happened.
This is a great strategy.
Don't quote me on it. They might be changing them as we speak.
Maybe we shouldn't. Okay, la, 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 la.
But I think because people are more invested in the digital ones, but the static ones have been up now for longer than we expected. And so I kind of like, That's kind of a blessing that we got to get that. Yeah,
blessing. That is good.
Yeah.
And also you have a chance to connect with them, maybe because in a different way, like the screen. So it's not moving by you. Mm-hmm. It's there. You can return to it and know when it's going to be there. Like, you can see the positives of both.
We also specifically, strategically put them in places where people would be walking as well. So
yes, that was always important to you.
We wanted to make sure that people wouldn't be driving 70 miles an hour past words and that they'd only see like a blip of a face. We were very, the project was not just about strategically thinking about what words would go up, but where they went up, because we wanted communities to be able to take their time with it, as one should with poetry.
Yeah.
So
about community. Yeah. It wasn't about the interstitial space. It was about being among, like, in the place itself.
Yes.
With the words.
Yeah.
Brittany, how did you choose then? Because we heard a little bit about, and then Matt, we're going to ask you too. but how did you choose, Brittany?
I knew I wanted to do a poem that was specific to Detroit. Like Nandi said, there was kind of the specificity of it needing to be like within a certain word limit. And so I wanted it to be a stanza that could stand alone by itself. So I ended up selecting from Detroit Pastoral because that like fit those requirements. But also I really appreciate when people think about what Detroit looks like outside of like the stereotypes of the city. And I feel like when people talk about Detroit, like even in like documentaries and most of our archived work, they're looking at like blight, they're looking at crime, they're looking at, you know, all of these like negative aspects of the city. So I wanted something that made people think instead about the city as like a natural landscape, whatever that may come with it, because we are a city. But the idea that this is like a natural place that people live and animals live and, you know, we exist here.
And it was from Detroit Pastoral.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can hear some of that then later. Is that? Oh,
absolutely.
Okay. And Matt, So how did you select? Was it because the book is coming out with Wayne State University? I think it wasn't. I'm just saying that just to say it again. But how did you select the poem?
Yeah, you know, I think Brittany's the depiction of her process runs very parallel to mine. There's the constraint of how much language we could have on the billboard and what was sort of consumable and understandable in the amount of time that someone would have with it. And then I knew I wanted to do something that was specific to the Upper Peninsula and would be recognizable, a set of recognizable images to readers here. And then, yes, I wanted to select a poem from the forthcoming book, and it's from the titular poem of the new collection.
And the bone cracking cold. Mm.
Correct.
Hoary.
Which you are experiencing right now in the UP.
Yeah, I'm looking out the window, and I am definitely in the space of the poem right now. It's very, very wintry here right now.
Oh, well, Matt, why don't we, let's start with your poem. Do you mind reading it?
I would love to share it with you. Thank you. This is a love poem set actually in the spring of the year, towards February, but it's feeling very timely right now. It's called In the Bone Cracking Cold. Mm-hmm. On this cross quarter day, quick to temper and cool, your long lashes startle me with a rhyme of hoarfrost, and I am snared like a rabbit pulled into your gravity by nature of our long love affair. The seasons race by, one after another, rising sap soon to halo the maples again. But I would freeze in the bone cracking cold just to watch you walk slowly through the sugar bush, rare as a sun dog, incandescent in the softly falling snow, forever.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Forever.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Oh, that does. That, what are you going to say, Brian?
I was going to say I'm a sucker for a good love poem.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
We're here for it.
Yeah.
We're so here for
a
it.
A good one, like oof.
Yeah. That's interesting. Like the way in which, you know, thinking about the spring and the winter, and like this love affair, right? The seasonal thing, you know, it has this interesting tension, right, between the warmth and the coldness and where those two have to meet and then become more of themselves in a way.
Yeah, you know, I find a lot of meaning and parallel in the, you know, between the human experience and the turn of the seasons and the juxtapositions between different, you know, different states, like you said, hot and cold or, you know, close and far. And I, you know, the notion of, you know, spring being the season that, following winter that proves that someone somewhere loves us.
That's
always been a pretty powerful, image for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely feels like there's longing in that too. Yes. Well. Thank you. Thanks, Matt. For. Well, you know what? We'll take a short break now. Everyone, you're listening to today on Living Writers. Michigan Words is here. Nandi Comer, Michigan Poet Laureate, Brittany Rogers, Jonah Mixon Webster, and M. Bartley Siegel joining us via phone. We've got Jason behind the glass. We'll take a short break. I'm T. Hetzel. We'll be back.
Did you know that it's a sin to covet? Baby, I can't help the fact you love it. No skin off my back. Wish that I could help resolve the pain that you've been holding on to, but it's so helpless if I'm the car. Try to act like we were constant buddies. Now I know that you're resolved. me. Just dodge the attack, and you really should be so ashamed. I caught you in the act, and now you won't forget I am the boss. Was the problem always me? Or the fact you can't believe I have what I have, and that you don't and blame the circumstances. Now there's no choice but envy. No choice but envy. Some clout and post it on your story. Unbelievable, should've cut you off right when you sat right next to me and shouted in my ear that you're my biggest fan. Now you can't look at me in the face. Guess you finally have learned your place and left me alone, but you're bitter when you hear this track. Why would you try to leave me as I rise and still don't understand? Was the problem always me? Yeah. Or the fact you can't believe I have what I have, and that you don't and blame the circumstances. Now there's no choice but envy. Choice but envy. Now there's no choice but envy. No choice but envy.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're just in time. You've got Living Writers. I'm T. Hetzel. And today, here in the studio, we have Jonah Mixon-Webster. We have Brittany Rogers. And we've got Nandi Comer. And joining us via phone from the UP, which feels farther away right now for some reason, we have M. Bartley Siegel. But you're not far away, Matt. You're here with us. You're here. Well,
always,
Matt,
always,
are you?
Okay. Through the miracles of technology.
Yes. Yeah. Thank goodness for that. And so, hey, whose song was that that we just played? Who chose that one for today?
That is OG.
Okay.
And the song is called Envy. I don't know a lot about her, but she just has a beautiful voice that is very inspiring to, I would say, anybody should check out her EP.
And this was like, you were listening to her last week, right, Nandi?
Yeah.
When you made the
yeah, that was what I was
the
listening
song
to
picks.
Last week.
I love that. And weeks have that, like, quality to it, don't mm-hmm. they, where you'll need, like, certain songs on certain mm-hmm. times and even certain years. You hear a song and then you're right back at who you were at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Spotify Wrapped.
Listen.
Who else cries at a Spotify Wrapped?
Not me. I'm very proud. I'd be like, I listen to 2,000 different artists. Right. I know I am fine.
back to the poem, shall we? Michigan Words. Back to this project that is still ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
These billboards are still up in communities around Michigan. What are some of the other? Because today we have Detroit, we have Flint, we have the UP with Marquette and Escanaba representative. What can Nandi, off the top of your head, can you remember other like the other placements of some of the billboards?
So the project itself was when we did fundraising for it, we did fundraising for specific areas based on. So every time we got an area funded, it meant that. So these are the four areas that were funded, right?
I see. Okay.
And so while what the unexpected thing happened is that the Library of Michigan actually came in and gave us a boost in how many we could do. Originally, I thought, oh, well, you know, we'll do one in every. So the library divides the state into 12 districts, And so I thought, oh, well, we'll do 12 poets, 12 districts, one billboard each district. And the library was like, well, what if we do like 35? And I was like, oh, well, that was different. And so we had three poets selected. So that was really great to be able to say, well, let's actually do more billboards in those areas and build more conversation instead of only having one in each area.
That makes sense.
I mean, because Matt, you know, even though you're in Houghton, which isn't really that close to Marquette, to be able to have, you know, your billboard up around the time that you were reading in Marquette was really important. But the UP is so large. So to only do one that really wouldn't have been able to cover that area, you know, and for the amount of population that we have in Detroit, it is good that we were able to do a Metro Detroit area, because it really does think about the area itself as like people in Detroit have a relationship that spans past the borders of the city. And so it was really important that we were able to do as many as we were, even though we had very limited areas that we were in.
It makes sense, because it really, that's the community component then. Because like you said, you could have more of a conversation, because it's like a placement. If you have several poems or several poets together, that's going to start something. So these billboards are doing that too. There's like an energy maybe among them and finding them in your community. What is the conversation like Jonah, in Flint now, like have you noticed things changing because of these your poems in the space?
It's hard to say if something is changing because of that, or if it is reflective, or if that poem is reflective of a change that's already beginning, right? I think it's more so kind of like a reflection of the change in the desire for change, right, that the community already has, you know, like imbued in its spirit.
So valuable then to feel that, because to feel, see it and then feel like I've been feeling this.
You know, actually just yesterday, one of my neighbors came by to help cut a branch off this tree that's hanging into the street, you know, outside my house. And, you know, he's like, let me cut the branch down for you. And, you know, and so he cuts it down. Again, a very communal experience. And then he said, hey, I saw your billboard the other day. He's like, yeah, you bring in some positive stuff, and that's what we need. And so, you know, from that, from my cousin saying, I just got off the bus and I saw your poem in your face outside the MTA terminal.
Oh, that's a good spot.
Yeah.
That's a good spot for
that.
That's
one of the digital ones where all of them are streaming. Yeah.
Right, yeah. And then, like, oh, then my cousin, like, hey, saw this. And then next thing I know, like, people are sending these things like, oh, we saw this. And I mean, I can speak for, like, the community of my family and the community of, like, my immediate neighborhood. They are... they're feeling the sense that I really hoped people would feel, which is pride. Not pride in that kind of, you know, like selfish kind of way, right? But just pride in being who you are and being from where you're from.
Yeah.
You know, and that's all I could hope for.
Yes.
But we all got that pride. Flint got that, you know? And so I think, yes, it's just reflecting, you know, there are many people in Flint doing amazing things to help better the community.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a reflection. I don't think it's it's the start of the change. It's a reflection of the change.
Yeah. Jonah, do you have your poem that's on the billboard?
Yeah. Rising moons and the needles of trees bring us water. One, if we find no more light in the world, then where have our eyes gone? If it is all ready and ruined to build up a new destruction, then what does that say about our desire? The trees work in the wind to create nighttime melodies. The wind works with water to move the world to its destiny. The water works with the rock to make new space peaceful and steady. Nature makes a wondrous team, even in its terrifying force. In the sky, there is always light, even in the dark, even in the day. 2. The light continues to wrestle the dark. In the squared, circled hearts of haters and lovers alike, there's a matter in the sky that casts its lot of moonlight where my eyes are kept. Every vision is a fact, yet I shouldn't speak too much of the shadows following me down the hall, lest they hear my fear and keep track. So where does joy go when we suffer? Where does pain go when we are healed? Must they exist together, always in the void of what goes unseen and untouched? You know what? I got a question for everybody. If you ruled the world, what would you find first? Endless space to conquer, food for the hungry, a light of your own to shine.
Thank you, Jonah. Thank you.
Thank you. Who am I to cry?
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Such a beautiful poem.
Thank you so much, man. Oh my God, that means so much.
And I feel like I wanted to answer you, Jonah.
The poem was one of the ones I'm like, let's have a conversation.
Yeah. It feels really invitational. Like, I feel very open listening to that poem and wanting to think about, like, okay, what changes would I want to see? And where, like, do my ethics and... like my praxis, my sense of community and political mindedness, like how does all that show up in community? Like, I feel like your poem opened a lot of those questions.
Thank you so much, Brittany.
And starting in also the natural world, Brittany, like you were talking about with your poem that we'll also get to hear, like this idea of like we're talking about water, right? And the transformative properties of it and like the very, I mean, just to start there and then to go to this part where we're being questioned and asked, and then it feels like a call to action in a way, to speak, to be part, to think, I don't know, to look more up at the sky.
Keep your head to the sky. I'm sorry I can't sing everybody, but
oh, no.
That song, or When If I Keep Your Head to the Sky, I missed the cue to some songs, but yeah, that song, Keep Your Head to the Sky, but Earth, Wind, and Fire is.
Well, Brittany, let's think about your poem now, too. Because you had mentioned the title is Detroit Pastoral.
Mm-hmm.
When did the title come first when you were making this, or is this something like with your process where you're writing and then you find it, or yeah, how did this one come to you?
I think this one actually did have a title first, which is not necessarily usually the case, but I was thinking kind of intentionally about the idea of the pastoral. And maybe I had been reading a lot of them that semester, like, I'm not sure. But I think that the poem started with the idea that people exclude Detroit out of a conversation about, like, landmarks and natural space.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, again, the impulse is to believe that since we're a city, we don't have those things. Or even thinking about things like poets writing about deer and rabbits and stuff that they see in their backyard. And I'm like, baby, I see that around the block. What are you talking about?
Yes.
You're not the only people who see deer in the morning.
Right.
So. Exactly. I mean, maybe that is also like a Michigan quintessential poem, mm-hmm. and we have them everywhere.
Everywhere, right? And so I think when I was thinking about the poem, I was thinking about the juxtaposition between what people imagine Detroit to be and to look like versus like what the reality is, and that it's somewhere likely in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. We do have, you know, all the markers of being a larger city, but we also have the marker of being like a more rural space, like a space where you find animals and wildlife and things
yeah.
like that.
And Detroit has, that is like complicated mm-hmm. in so many ways, right?
Yeah.
And but people also like they don't want to hear, they want to have like a one story about something sometimes, right?
Absolutely.
And this is not that story. This is so much more.
Yeah.
Would you, do you mind?
Oh, no, I don't mind at all. Detroit Pastoral. Who knows why the deer choose Chatham Street to gather? But I drive by the corner lot, and there they huddle, glass-eyed majesty. We're not supposed to see wildlife here, where sirens spend the night air its own soundtrack. Someone shouts, "You hear that?" And that could be anything. Mm. Lock your doors. This block, gap-toothed, fickle, field of yellow grass, field of soiled Pampers and beer bottles, food desert, but they graze anyhow. Whole herd of heads dip so low, I almost climb out my car to kneel. Thank you.
Thanks, Brittany.
Thank you. You are so sweet. I wish that y'all could beautiful. Be in here to see people's faces. This is the sweetest, most tender thing I've ever seen.
The magic of radio, Brittany.
Right?
And I think, like, hearing your voice out over the audio waves, like, people have that where they are now, too. So thank you.
Thank you.
You know, Tracy K. Smith has that great line about how poetry urges us to push against what we think we know and what we might initially be inclined to draw as conclusions based on what we've observed. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, one thing that's always kind of struck me about sort of Michigan poets as a whole, even though it's such an enormous region and a big state and it contains multitudes, is that so many of the poets are working to kind of push against the myth of the place, right? The myth of Flint mm-hmm. versus the reality of Flint, or the myth of Detroit versus the reality, the lived reality of Detroit, the myth of the Upper Peninsula versus the lived reality of that space. And it was really great to be in this group of poets and reading this work, because while it was all so different, it's all so also similar mm-hmm. at the same time, in that, you know, pushing against what, you know, people think they know about a place or a people. And I just really love that. I love that poem, Brittany.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, Matt.
Andy, what are you thinking? Because, and I can see that Jonah is very feeling emotional too, and Brittany and Matt's words. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think oftentimes, I know that when I first was notified about serving as Poet Laureate of Michigan, that this would be a really like life-changing thing for me, and thinking about how historic it would be for the state to restart this program after not having it for 60 years. But so much of my time has been not about me. It's been about these moments. It's been about how to constantly foster spaces where poets and our audience can just reflect on the importance of poetry in our world and in our lives. There's so many poets out there that really make it about themselves when they are doing programming, and when they, I understand, because it's a grind. We are really trying to, you know, live off of our art. But one of the things that I was like, I have to do is let me not put myself at the center of everything that is happening. And so it was constantly, how do I invite poets into the room with me? So all of these poets I've read with I've read, I think across the state, I have read in almost every single region of the area alongside poets from those regions, so that the community decenters this poet laureate position and really start to grasp that, like, we are a poetry state, mm-hmm. and we have wonderful poets across both peninsulas. And it meant also that, like, what would it mean to, like, actually do a statewide program? So it meant that, like, yeah, I got to sit with Matt in the library in Houghton, and right. I got to drive all the way up to Houghton.
It was a long tour you were on.
And I've been in the UP 3 times during my service. So it was, you know, but most importantly, outside of the driving, outside of the readings, is that making sure that other poets know that they are important too in this program, that it isn't about just me being around. And this project really, the only thing I could have asked was for more funding to do more billboards so I could showcase more poets, yes. across more of the state.
We were talking at the break, we would love this to keep going. Yeah, this is important work, and that you found it, like, you've created this. Now we have a footprint here in the state. Can do this.
And Michigan, I don't know.
Library of Michigan could keep doing this.
I don't know that publishing on billboards was in our, like, bucket list of what we wanted to do as poets. But I feel like it needs to be on every poet's bucket list now, is to be on somebody's billboard with their poem.
I would say it's on my CV.
I know that's
a Michigan word.
Yeah, yes. It changes you.
It is. It's amazing what... Like, to be, it's one thing to be compelled to write, which I think we are, right? There's something about poems that we want them in our lives. They're part of what it is to be living, walking around, right? Mm-hmm. But then there is something so different about having it be in the public space and to see who it matters to and how it can matter to them, mm-hmm. maybe in ways that are surprising to even the folks that come upon it, maybe, but maybe not. Like, maybe there's something about us being these beings, these creatures, where we're like, this is part of us being human, mm-hmm. is this way. And to be able to see it and to then feel known, like, 'cause it's something you can't really be shy and say you're a poet either, can you?
I don't know. There's some shy poets out there.
I'm shy.
It's a whole bunch of shy poets.
Well, I mean, let me say it for myself. Then. Let me bring it. Like, is that I think I would say I write poems a lot longer before I would say I'm a poet, because it feels like that's something that's like, it's a responsibility, maybe in some way, that's more outside of ourselves even. And that, Nandi, that's what you've done, is bring these poems outside of ourselves and connect them to the community, connect us more into the community.
Yeah.
And like you said, I don't want to embarrass you. Like, I want to say it's like a tribute to who you are as like a poet, as a maker, as a person, in that I completely forgot when all of this started. I was just so excited you were the poet laureate, like Michigan's poet laureate. But what you have done is you've created this thing where you have made it. Mm-hmm. Michigan has poets. Mm-hmm. Michigan has poets. It's just, yes. Yeah. That's the in the forefront. Yeah.
I mean, and then, you know, this is one of the many projects that we did. You know, I've been working on a film that highlights Michigan poets.
How is that going?
We are in the last stages of editing. I've seen a couple of rough cuts. It's a series that will be airing on public TV. Where we got to record poets reading their work and talking, and I got to interview them.
So cool.
Did some educational work for Grand Rapids Charter School System. Like, the way in which this just opened avenues in ways that I don't think I, as a poet, could even have strategized. Like, this project was a thing that, like, okay, yes, I wanted to do this. But I think that also it gave opportunity for other artists to think about, how can I engage poetry in my project? So we had filmmakers saying, I want to do a film project. How can we... And they would come to me and say, like, we want you to work on a film project. And I'm like, that's great. Here are five other poets that you should have involved in this, you know, because I really thought, like, well, you know, if this is the work, it's not about just, you know, showcasing myself. And then in the end, just like what I'm doing right now, I'm going to be here. Everybody going to know who did it. I don't have to be the one at the forefront. I don't have to be in the picture on the billboard like, hey, you know, it's fine.
Although I kind of wish we could all get now a billboard together with Nani on it. So
there was a moment where Jonah was out of town and I was worried, because originally we had a set amount of time that we had rented these billboards. And Jonah, because he's such an amazing writer and is very much in demand, was all over the country and was not at home when they were the whole month that we thought that this was just going to run. So I drove up to Flint so I could get pictures. And so there are pictures of me online in front of Jonah's billboard, like, hey, we did it.
Look. I love that. Nandi, do you have a poem to read?
I do have a poem. And so this is a strange one. So one of the things that I've been doing as Poet Laureate is, I didn't quite do it for the whole 2 years of my service, but for probably about 90% of the time I've been doing a poem a day. But even prior to being appointed, around this time, the holidays, I get quite cynical about my role as the only daughter in the family, because I am always the one that manages the big meal of the holidays. So I'm on like poem 5 of my annual poem about being the only daughter in my family tasked with cooking. So the title of this poem is My Annual Poem About My Cooking Duties as the Only Daughter of My Family, number 5. This one is after Lucille Clifton. My mother was not the cook. Solid truck, that woman. My first sound in clay, she shaped what she could out of this life of bread and bird. What monument am I to forge from my kitchen? She made me from her leather skirt and afro pick. We are women not fashioned by that, she said, pointing at her oven.
Mm. Oh, that's right.
Thank you. Thanks, Nandi.
I mean, I love the holidays, but I hate cooking. I really do. I think it's so much pressure.
Yes. That's actually just a good wrap up of the holidays there in so many ways. Matt, I wanted to also bring you back on to say, Matt, thanks so much for calling and joining us via phone today, being part of this. M. Bartley Siegel.
Thank you so much for having me. Wonderful.
And can't wait. We'll have to talk again when the book comes out, okay?
I look forward to it.
And today in the studio, I can hardly believe it, but we're getting down to the last moments. Our in-studio poets today, Brittany Rogers. Thank you, Brittany, so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me here.
For your poem and for everything else that's coming. Yeah,
fingers crossed.
And your book too. Let's talk. Good Dress.
Good Dress.
Right, Tin House Press. Yes. It's hot off the press. Well, it's still hot, right?
Yes. It's
gonna be hot for a while.
It's a hot collection. It's gonna be hot.
So let's talk, Brittany. We'll make a date. Okay.
Yeah. I'll be burning
already
fingers for a while.
All the things. Come on now.
Yeah.
And Jonah Mixon-Webster, thank you so much for, because I hear you have an event on following this one that you're heading to,
Yeah. It's a Just Poetry event. It's going to be in Detroit. One of my really great friends, another fantastic poet and artist from Michigan, Cozine Welch, is organizing it. We'll be hosting, playing, music and also reading his poetry.
What time?
It's at 7 o'clock p.m. tonight in Detroit. It is...
It's at Marble Bar.
It's at Marble Bar, yep. Tonight, 7 p.m. The actual event is based around the conversation of juvenile life sentences. So,
thank you, Jonah. Jonah Mixon Webster and Nandi Comer, Michigan Poet Laureate, friend of the show. Thanks for coming back, Nandi.
Thank you so much for having us.
Can't wait to the next conversation with you all. And thanks to Jason for engineering. Thanks all of you out there for listening. I'm T. Hetzel. Until next time.
Yay!
Live from Ann Arbor, welcome back to the Daily Sports Report here on WCBN FM Ann Arbor. I'm your host, Vihan Iswar. I was unable to grace the airwaves yesterday due to exam-related issues, but I am back here today. I'm going to be joined by Zach. Zach, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing terrific. Thank you for having me on, Vihan.
Yeah, of course, it's cold in Ann Arbor, which, Zach, I know that's something that you have voiced your displeasure over as an Arizona native.